Good evening, you guys. K2 Romeo, India Whiskey. My call letters, my name is Dick, and this is the TechNet. TechNet number 1514 of the series that began in September of 1982. This is a gathering of curious people who want to know more about radio. No one's ever seen a radio wave. And I can give you a bunch of reasons why I'm positive no one's ever going to see one. Controversially, we've also said that no one's ever seen a molecule or an atom. And everyone agrees with that. By way of an atomic force microscope, we do see an indication of the outer diameter of the electron field around an atom or a molecule. But really seeing one? I don't think so. We'll discuss that a little bit later. People gather for the TechNet because there's a lot of brain power in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area where this repeater is located. We also have, by way of Eric's KE2EJ's efforts, we have Echolink and IRLP, by which people from outer areas listen in and also sign in with questions. Let me drop. And John, KC2WGB, he keeps track of the Echolink. Therefore, if you signed in to Echolink, you got trouble getting in because we don't sometimes leave enough space. John will know about that, and you can also issue questions to him by that means. So we're improving along those lines. John, KC2WGB, also runs the mailbag by which people who don't yet have the right equipment or don't yet have the right license are able to send in their questions. What you'll mostly hear are people trying to find out how radio really works. If you really want to know how radio works and how antennas work, talk to a ham radio operator. The schools are doing a fairly mediocre or less than mediocre job on teaching that in useful engineering information, in my opinion. You'll also hear later on Paul, WS2N, who tells us the latest on what Aeronautics, Spatial, NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, what they've been doing. Our menu is the following. First hour, we take questions for people who do have a question or a comment. They sign in, give me your name, call letters, and the word yes, which means you do have a question or a comment. Need that sign in just because you're listening. And for 32 years, let's see, 1982 to now, 32 and a half years, going on 33 years of the TechNet, we believe somebody is listening. That doesn't have to be proven to us anymore. And John and I and Paul, we haven't gone to net control school. Therefore, we didn't learn this crazy thing of asking at the beginning of every net, is there any emergency traffic? We don't answer that. We don't ask that question. It's crazy. I don't understand that one. Can you imagine the probability of somebody waiting to have his automobile accident to the exact time of the beginning of the TechNet or the net itself, and then saying, yes, I've got emergency traffic? Very unlikely. Don't understand that one. Somebody's got to explain that to me someday. Okay. We're ready to take check-ins for people who do have a question or a comment. A typical sign-in would sound like this, W-H-U-R-Y-Y. Joe and yes. Give me your call letters and name right now. K2RIW.
Okay, Dick, let's keep it simple tonight.
And to exchange with the optical.
West recognized. Anyone else to check in? I think I heard Hal, K6DPZ. Okay. Anyone else? Give me your call letters.
2YHI, 16, simple.
WS2N, Paul with the space report.
Okay.
That's the question, of course, then.
Somebody who said question, then. Who is that?
Hey, Dick, it's Ray, K2NMY. I'll ask you a question. Yes.
Very fine, Ray. Okay, so far, with real check-ins, we've got Hal and Ray. Anyone else? Okay, maybe everybody's watching the soccer game tonight. Hal, go right ahead with your comment. K6DPZ, K2RIW in the TechNet.
This is what Megan should be doing.
I'll give the more brief answer. I give the more verbose answers. Some people like the benefit of both. Okay, you're Ray, KC2MMY. You're number one on the runway with real questions. Take your time, Ray. You've got the floor.
Hey, Dick, in the segment. Yeah, Eric tried to explain it to me one time. I wasn't able to contain it, but I guess now you have let's say you're building a receiver, and, you know, you have an LC circuit, tank circuit, for to get your resonant, you know, input frequency. How do you do that digitally? How do you do that with a, you know, digitally tuned with, like, a phase lock loop? How do they do that? How do you, gosh, how do I even answer this question? You know, I know they do some kind of divide-by thing, but how are you changing your tank circuit with that to make it tuned? In other words, how does the front end of a radio work?
Yes, I'll make a fast answer. You got it, Hal. Depending on the type of radio it is, the front end may have what we call varactor tuning. Varactors work on voltage, a voltage capacitance with respect to resonance of a tank circuit. They take the phase lock loop voltage going to the varactor for the DCO, sample off that to do the tracking. There's a little more you'll done, but that's the basic concept. The correction voltage is used for the DCO. It's also used to track the varactors in the front end. It turns out the real tuning of the front end, Ray, is really analog. To my knowledge, no one has come up with the digital technique of building an LC network that resonates and tunes to a particular frequency and passes that frequency. What Hal is mentioning is that there is something called a varactor diode, voltage control diode, that becomes the variable capacitor. You could use an analog to digital converter circuit, digital to analog, I should say, to generate digitally the right voltage you put on that varactor diode. That in turn sets the right capacitance, and that tunes the RF preselector. That's half the process. The other half of the process is that the mixer, which is going to mix you down from RF to the first IF, it needs a nice, stable local oscillator. In the old days, that used to be done with a phase lock loop analog circuit. Now there's a digital equivalent to that, but even the analog circuit, the analog old-fashioned phase lock loop, it really had a digital component if it was tunable. If you had knobs on the front panel where you could set the frequency, you're really deciding with those knobs what is the fractional divide circuit doing. The fractional divide circuit is dividing the frequency coming out of the voltage-controlled oscillator, that's becoming your LO, and dividing it down to, say, a reference frequency like 10 megahertz. Somewhere in the phase lock loop, you got a reference oscillator at 10 megahertz. You compare the two. That's done digitally nowadays. You decide that the frequency you're operating at is higher or lower. You make a positive or a negative voltage out of that, so to speak. That gets fed back with that digital analog to digital analog converter creates the right voltage that moves the oscillator. So you've got varactor diodes on the oscillator. That allows them to be electronically tunable. And if it's a good radio with a good
repeater, timeout.
And if it's a good radio with an RF preselector, you've got another varactor diode on the RF front end, selecting what frequency comes in. Some of our radios nowadays, like your Baofeng, for instance, got a wide open front end. Doesn't have a tunable preselector. As such, you take that radio into a busy New York City environment where there's a lot of transmitters, and you'll hear a lot of birdies. The good news is that radio is inexpensive, and it can tune from, 50 megacycles to 480 megacycles, almost inclusive. That's the good news. But any strong signal anywhere in that frequency range could give you quite a bit of grief, because that signal will come into that RF front end and find funny ways of mixing if the signal is strong enough. That's some of the story, Ray. You Google the word phase lock loop, digital controlled receiver, what we call that, DSP, that's not the right word I'm looking for, digital controlled receiver. There's various things you can Google that'll help a lot more. As you find out more about this, come back and tell us what you find and how you interpreted it, Ray. You're allowed to ask more questions. KC2MMY, K2LIW, the tech man.
Okay, but start at the beginning. We have to be sensitive to some frequency in the beginning. And normally, if you're building a crystal diode radio or something, you have to have some kind of LC to start with. You're saying, how are you getting voltage to act as a capacitor? Can you explain that part to me? I'm familiar with a VCO in the sense of you can have a voltage-controlled oscillator. Okay, that's a voltage-controlled oscillator. That's not a tank circuit. It's oscillating. Or maybe if it's oscillating at a certain frequency, does that make it sensitive to a certain frequency? Is that what's going on? Explain that first initial sensitivity to a frequency that I want to receive.
Good question, Ray. In the old days, you had a variable capacitor that tuned the frequency. Your old AM radios with five tubes in them way back in the 50s and 60s. As you turned that main dial, it was a dual capacitor. One of those variable capacitors was controlling the RF front end. In other words, controlling what frequency that's tuned to so that it passes the right signal from the antenna into the mixer. The second half of those two capacitors, air variable capacitors, was controlling the frequency of the oscillator. Nowadays, essentially, both of those are done with varector diodes. Turns out every single diode is a varector diode. The ones that are specifically designed for it do a better job. But whenever you take a diode, a solid-state diode that's got a P-N junction, got a P area and an N area. And in other words, you put positive voltage on the P area, negative voltage on the N area, you're forward biasing it, it conducts. That's how you make a rectifier. If you back bias it, put negative voltage on the P area, positive voltage on the N area, you develop a barrier. In other words, the thickness, there's a layer of material in between the P and the N that gets wider when you will put a negative voltage on the diode. It's like taking the two air capacitor plates, the P plate and the N plate, and spreading them further apart, putting a more negative voltage, spreads them further apart, and the capacitance goes down. So any diode, when you reverse bias it, you can measure its capacitance. As you put more and more negative voltage on it, non-conducting voltage, in the wrong direction, so to speak, the capacitance goes down. So in the other direction, as the voltage you put on there gets smaller and smaller, closer to zero, the capacitance goes up, but you can't push that too far. Depending on how big the signal is, eventually the diode's going to see the peaks of that RF voltage, start rectifying it, get some peculiar
repeater, timeout.
But the bottom line of this is that every single diode has this variable capacitance effect. When you back bias it. However, the diodes, the varector diodes that are specifically designed to do this, they do a better job. See if that makes a little more sense to you, Ray. KC2MMY, K2LAW in the tech net.
Drop. Okay, yes, I understand how a diode works. I understand the back.
If you guys are hearing a signal that you think shouldn't be there, please go to the reverse mode on your receiver and listen to the 146.25 input. Tell us how strong is the signal. I'm getting an S3 signal right now, for instance, from that undesired signal. So you're going to take that information, you're going to tell us where you were located, what time you heard it, and how strong was that signal. And you're going to send that to rfi@limog.org. RFI stands for Radio Frequency Interference. So you're going to send that information to rfi@limog.org. So I think I did hear you say, Ray, that each diode, you know how back bias will change the capacitance. Higher voltage back bias gives you less capacitance. Once you've got a voltage tunable capacitor and you put that across an LC coil, you're adjusting the frequency of the coil. And every oscillator has got a coil in there somewhere that resonates at some frequency. And again, you're changing the capacitance, changing the frequency of that coil. That moves the oscillator. We call it a voltage controlled oscillator. There are a very small, let me drop.
You're so powerful.
There are a very small number of voltage controlled oscillators. Wait. Wait, changing the voltage on the. You're changing the voltage on the speaker or the base of the oscillating transistor as a way of tuning it. Much smaller tuning range when you do that. A very small number of them do it that way, where there's no varactor diode in at all. Just by changing the bias of the oscillating transistor, its equivalent capacitance changes, and it'll pull you a small amount. And if you only needed a small tuning range, you can do it that way. There's lots of solid-state electronic circuits where you choose the right component. Change the voltage on that component, and you can move the oscillator. In fact, if you want a very steady oscillator, you've got to work very hard to make sure all the voltages you give it are extremely smooth, well-controlled, well-regulated voltages. So, stopping an oscillator from becoming a VCO is a lot harder than you think. Or another way of looking at it, making a VCO is a lot easier than you think. What if that makes some sense, Ray? AC2MMY, to RIW.
Okay, you had to get me to clear some things up. I never really got into that deep into it. See, like, you know, there's all these steps to a radio, I'm trying to understand them piece by piece. And, you know, there was something about a ring modulator, too, that I had a question about, but I can't place it right now.
Yeah, there's a ring hybrid, ring modulator. There's quite a few various kinds of rings. Ring resonator. The word ring with electronic circuits, RF circuits. There's quite a few kinds of rings. The very first ring I ran into was where a ham radio operator, 1972 CTK, who was running the radar rotary joint department of Airborne Instrument Laboratory. His laboratory was across the hall from our Sea of Jessica, where the new electronic engineers had been hired, and I'm hearing the snapping noise. He was breaking down a piece of L-band waveguide by putting a megawatts of RF energy from the magnetron through this thing. He was testing a rotary joint, so this waveguide was arcing over. I heard the sound, walked in there, introduced myself. He found out I'm a ham. I found out him, the head of the rotary joint department. He was a ham. We immediately had a lot in common. And he taught me how waveguide worked. The school almost didn't do that. He did. He showed me the real world of a ring modulator by setting up a ring of waveguide and resonating it at 1,200 megacycles. He was able to take a couple of kilowatt magnetron, multiply the voltage in that ring up to a megawatt, kilowatt and up to a megawatt by way of the resonance. Therefore, he was testing his rotary joint, his L-band rotary joint at megawatts. And I was listening to the arc over before he had it tuned just right. So that's one kind of ring, and that was the first one I ran into when I was working as an electronic engineer in my first month of employment, Ray. KC2MMY, K2RIW.
Okay, Dick. Like I said, we'll go through the radio stages as I pull them. I think what I need to take out, clear some things up with. How much of that you got? See my transmission over.
And I think maybe you experienced some overheat difficulties or something. KC2WQB.
Channel is going up.
Obviously, Dick is working on a problem, so he'll be back soon to get that solved. Stand by, KC2 WQB.
Thank you. not sure. Trying to get a hold of Dick right now, and I think K and B is on the phone with him. WBQOMW.
Go ahead, John. WS2N here.
Paul, do you have my landline number?
Negative. I never got it.
Got a pencil?
Go ahead.
718-447-3426.
Copy that. I'll be right back to you.
This is 2WGB4.
Oh, no, don't believe you can put it that way. I believe it's the study of what God has wrought. Yeah, what he hung out in space, what he meant that we, being a bag of chemicals, we were breathed the spirit into us after being made of the dust of the land, not by some amoeba percolating in a swamp. As Darwin and his ilk kind of say, we were hit by lightning in a swamp as an amoeba, and therefore sprung forth man. Nonsense.
Okay, then it sounds like you believe in a spontaneous creation, maybe, that came along with a history that could be studied. AC2IS.
Believe in the Big Bang, as most scientists do. And let me state here first, I am not a scientist. I am an amateur, like I'm an amateur radio operator, not a good one at that. But I'm an amateur cosmologist, and then again, not a good one at that. But I find it fascinating. Yeah, I was an abject failure in calculus in college. I just couldn't get it to my brain, integral calculus. Just could not get it. I could, but I was so slow that it, set people's teeth grinding. So therefore, you know, I didn't follow up on that career, but that interest has stayed with me all my life.
T2IS, it sounded like the very tail end of your transmission was clipped off. C2IS.
Okay, it's not worth repeating, my friend, not worth it. And I'm not going to preach creation or cosmology anyway. I'm just waiting for the tech net, more or less like you.
Yes, I'm waiting for tech net to come on and waiting for a headache to go away. That's what I'm up to right now. AC2IS.
2IS? I believe that's what you said? Yeah. KF7BNH. Very good. Yeah. Now, I will claim this, that this tech net that Dick runs, and it's been running for 20-plus years, is the only tech net I've heard on radio that is worthy of the title tech net.
This is AC2IS. I guess the landmark tech net is the only tech net that I've heard on the radio. What else have you heard out there?
They're all over the place. All over the place. The line up on HF, there's the Wind System Shorty, the founder, co-founder of the Wind System C, is on Saturday nights, I think it is. Saturday nights, 7 p.m., somewhere around there, holding the Wind System TechNet. And it doesn't get nearly as technical, you know. And the only bad question is one that hasn't been asked, and I understand that. You know, if we're going to have a tech net, K2RIW, is what I'm talking about. I like his explanation of electrons dancing up and down an antenna, kind of farting out their little signal, magnetic energy to whomever receive it. But that's the way it is. Up and down your antenna, these little electrons dance, giving out that electromagnetic energy. I love it.
This is AC2IS. Yes, having a really experienced RF engineer willing to dedicate his time to a tech net is definitely something worth listening to.
it is, what other ham could explain it like that other than Dick? Electrons. That's, yeah, your little electrons. Ready? Kilowatts. Up and down your antenna. Motoring up there on his megacycle. Just up and down, up and down, up and down. Throwing out magnetic energy. I just love it. The way he explains it.
You know, just as you sort of give that description back, it makes me wonder if you're going to put coils in an antenna to make it electrically look longer. And the antenna, I guess, part of the purpose is to create an electromagnetic wave, so that's the electric field part and the magnetic wave part. I wonder if it's more effective to put a pair of coils at the ends of the antenna as opposed to a single coil in the center, because then there'd be more current flow through this. An idle thought. AC2IS.
I tell you, what affects an antenna is this length. L-E-N-G-H-T. It's like, if I spelled it right, there's length, and I just love it. The length of the antenna determines what frequency, what wavelength you're going to be. Of course, you think you can electrically lengthen or electrically shorten an antenna. Well, I guess you can to a degree, but, because the screw-type antenna always does that. People got them all over the back of their vans and motorhomes and that. Screwdriver antennas all over the place. So I imagine I had a man yesterday with a 6-meter antenna talking from way down in California on 2 meters on a 6-meter antenna on a little Lusan radio with no type of a meter on her other than a power meter. And the power was 100% going out through the 6-meter antenna and him with a 2-meter radio. That goes to show you, things can happen.
Sure, all kinds of things can happen. I doubt he's got an electrical antenna tuner for 2 meters. Although I suppose that's possible. Maybe what's more likely is that his 6-meter happens to be resonant for 2 meters as well. Maybe a happy coincidence there. AC2IS.
Specifically, didn't mention the tuner. No tuner at all. Just a handheld Loxon radio tied into antenna. I think he had some kind of a power amplifier, and he did have a watt meter, and it was showing that he was putting out 100% of what he thought he should be from that little handheld radio, and it worked. It worked. He had a beautiful signal. Nobody could believe him, but. Oh, you figure it out. How big is 2 meters? A quarter antenna, quarter wave antenna, 2 meters. Then a full wave antenna, 2 meters. Yeah, you get it up to six meters. Yeah, I believe so. He did it. It sounded real good.
I'm wondering if this guy got an SWR reading, and I'm also wondering where he put his power meter. If it was in between the Loxon and the amp, or between the amp and the antenna, AC2IS.
Roger, I don't know. I assumed that it would be after the amp, but, he didn't have a SWR meter at all. He just judged it by, this thing should be putting out so many watts, and it says that it will. And it is. And it is putting out the proper wattage. Therefore, there can't be any standing wave, maybe he was right. because he talks a long time without his radio blowing up or his amplifier. I think he had a small 2-meter amplifier on, is really what I think it was. Kind of amusing that he was so beautifully modulated through the air to us on a 6-meter antenna, 2-meter radio. We thought that was SMAO.
Or less likely to be damaged. And then the other question, measuring the power on the watt meter and getting the value that you expect, does that mean that there's no, that there's not a bad SWR? I don't think so. That's maybe a question to refer to Dick. I'm going to guess that it's possible to get the quote-unquote correct or the expected reading on a watt meter without having a good SWR.
I don't know. I don't think. I think he was right in measuring power output was where it was supposed to be and it was working. Why need you to have a SWR meter? It was just beautiful. I mean, it was working. And unless something is working that well, apparently according to the meters, what more do you need?
This is AC2IS. I don't know. I was saying that might be a good question to put to Dick. You heard my guess of an answer. Whether I'm right or not, maybe Dick will come on the air and let us know at some point. AC2IS.
This is wrong. Right. The Liverman's right in what he does. Until you lose the smoke in your radio, you're doing it. When you lose the smoke, you're in trouble.
AC2IS, it sounded like maybe there was another voice in the background of your last transmission. If we could frame an experiment, we could maybe determine out what the reality is, or maybe the quicker thing is wait for an experienced RF engineer like Dick to let us know. AC2IS.
I always do. I would dial it otherwise. I know there's other people out here in Reno that enjoy it too, but don't hear a great outcry of, hey, what a tech name. Just a couple of people. And I don't know why there aren't more, but we'll see. There's a lot of new call signs hitting this area, and they're turning hams out like, my goodness, like a rabbit in a cage. Denver hams are coming out big time. I don't know how many hundreds this year already that they've graduated here in Reno. But I imagine that's a bunch.
AC2MMY, you guys hear me?
Yes.
They're very active here. With good PEs, and they're very active, and good teachers. They got teachers that handle teaching, and prior to the testing, and, they're all good. That's great. And a lot of them teach according to WB8-0-NOA, WB6-NOA, pardon me. And that's Gordon West. They use his method as well as the ARRL, and it's proving to be real good.
One NS, I did hear you. Please go ahead. AC2IS.
Yeah, I'm just curious if that's working. No, I guess the other fellow's in another state or something. I was just trying to mention that 6-meter antenna. You can use a 6-meter antenna for 2 meters. I've heard that before. Does it have something to do with it being the third harmonic or something? I think that's a known phenomenon. I just wanted to mention that. TC2MM1.
You're cooking. Now you're cooking. Harmonic. Yep. I think you're right. You're right on that, my friend. KS7VNH. Well, I know this is John here. I'm going to stand by for the Limar TechNet if we get the tangles out of it.
Well, glad to hear that TEM membership is looking up in Reno, Nevada. And hope whatever it is you guys are doing out there to make that happen is repeatable elsewhere. AC2IS.
We do. You just get out there and ham it up. Have fun. That's the whole premise. Ham it up, have fun, and think a bit. Anything makes you think is good. It doesn't mean that you're going to become a whistle beater in thinking, but it's at least thinking does broaden the horizon somewhat. Yep. Let's see. Okay, yeah. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Every man is my teacher." No, that was Edmund Burke. "Every man is my teacher. From where have I learned something?" Excuse me, 80 years old, it makes the synapses in my brain don't work like they should anymore.
I think that the synapses in my brain never worked the way they should have. AC2IS.
Yeah. If we were 20, 30 years old, who knows, having this kind of problem? Oh, whoa, woe is me, woe is me. But who cares now, huh?
Well, you know, my thought process doesn't work as well as it should. You know, don't necessarily think that's a result of decline. Just sometimes just the way it is. AC2IS.
Well, I found something. Don't tell my wife that I found an old thing that's absolutely, I found it to be true. After a lifetime, I found it to be true. All the girls get prettier at closing time. Yes, sir. That's true. DNH.
Oh, DNH station, what time is it there in Reno? Yes, this is KC2MM1. I'm wondering what time it is in Reno, Nevada.
About 10 minutes prior to 7 p.m.
Okay, roger that, roger. It's 2 hours behind, and wow, early there. So it's, it might be 3 hours. It's almost 10 here, so wow, 3 hours.
You know, sometimes they're off at 8 o'clock here, they're closing out. Sometimes it's 9 o'clock, then sometimes it's 10 o'clock. And sometimes they stay for a while, you know, when they're having fun.
Yeah, this is very strange tonight. I don't know what's going on. I've never seen them drop out like that and not come back. So I don't know what's going on. KC2MM1.
Happened. It is disappointing, but it happened.
Joyous here. Are we all on the eastern repeater? Do we know if the western one is up? AC2IS.
Well, I'm on the eastern repeater. You sound like you're on, I don't know, are you on Echo Link or something? And I don't know what the other fellow's coming through the IRLP, so I mean, I don't know about the western.
Yeah, I'm on the western repeater. We're fine. Goodbye, fine.
Okay, so that's Bernie, ain't doing Bernie, Ray. Yeah, so everything seems to be working, so I don't know what's going on. Something's going on.
Suppose they'll let us find out sooner or later. They'll notify us sooner or later what happened. I don't know. Maybe next week.
AC2IS, yeah, maybe there's some issue over at Dick's place, but... I would have thought somebody else would have picked up his net control in that case. not sure. But yeah, possibly technical issues at Dick's place. AC2IS.
Yeah, roger that. There's like four other people freezing in control. Speculation.
AC2IS, I think what you said was no point in speculating, is that right? AC2IS.
No, I'm saying, yeah, kind of. We're just speculating. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you're an AC2, so that means you're an extra.
Bill, UB2RMW, good evening. I think I've had some radio trouble, so at the very least, we'll be back on the air next week with it. I'm going to reset the net zone. Have a good evening, gentlemen. WB2OMW clear.
WB2OMW, we appreciate that announcement. AC2KY. Yes, AC2KY, I was just, I'm going to stand by, let him reset everything.
Net time complete.
Yeah, is it back to normal now, right?
That way to be.
Okay, copy, this is AC2KY in the group with KC2MMY. Yeah, that's a shame. I hope everybody's okay, and I hope all systems are back up and running soon. I think there was an AIS out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is AC2IS. Thanks. The last question put out was, is that an extra call sign? And yes, it is. I think you can tell by the length. And then AC2KY must also be an extra that whose license was commissioned after mine, I would think. Are you a very recent extra? This is AC2IS.
I'm not sure if you're talking to Ray or myself. About a year on that ticket. This is one time, great self say. I think there was another gentleman in there from Reno. I don't want to leave him out for the rotation. So, Reno, pick it up. I forgot the call sign.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 7, Victor November Hotel, Reno. Yeah, I jabber-jawed enough here already, so I just listen to you guys. You just have a good evening and continue there. I don't want to be a hog on the radio. Here, 7VNH.
Hey, Reno Station. I'm there. We're trying to get into ice or what have you. Yeah, the question was, you want about the extra bus book. Just answered it. And, gee, you know. So rare. I was the only one with a question anyway tonight for the text. Well, I was the only one with a verbal, but, and actually I lucked out because he had just finished answering it. I guess he popped the vinyl or something. And, still had the mailbag and all of that, space report, and, could have done all of that. I don't know. And, that's it. So over to, I guess, I something. I'm real bad. I can't remember.
This is AC2IS, and don't feel bad. I'm bad with names as well as bad with call signs. But yeah, I'm a little surprised that somebody didn't jump on in with the space report to fill the gap. AC2IS.
Do we know what happened to the technet tonight? WJ3, Dick had a radio bomb.
Now we're all kind of guessing, so, yeah, that's it. We don't know 100%. We'll find out when we find out.
2KY, how are you?
2WQB. Yes, I'm, heading here.
Give me a landline.
Oh,
doing. I don't know. Should we try? I don't know if I feel like getting up now. Try the frequency.
Yeah, I'll go up to 40 meters. You kept it in memory, didn't you?
Alan, you have a second? KP2BTV.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Warren?
Yeah, go ahead, Jared.
Thought I would let you know that within the next year, Walgreens will be coming out with Braille prescription labels.
See? Took a long time.
I guess you remember the conversation we had. I just thought I would let you know. Go ahead. I'm out of here. KB2BPB clear.
Yes. Copy. All right, Jerry. Hope you had a good Sunday. And I hope everybody's well on this tech net. So, Ray, I'm going to go try to find that frequency, and I'll meet you up there.
Hold on. It's not 40 meters. And I don't want to cut everybody else off. It was 20 meters, and then what the heck was it, Dan? It was up there, 20.949 something.
I thought it was 20. I forgot. This afternoon, I forgot. 20.950 or something.
That's not a ham.
450 is 15 meters. Yeah, hold on. I got to turn on the light and check out my chart. I wrote that down. And you're right. That's not a frequency.
Yeah,
I mean,
20 meters. 14.989
something. Yeah, well, we can go down a while or whatever. You know, there's a lot of people out there that probably have a lot to say. Why don't we stand down and let somebody take it over for a little while? Maybe somebody has some questions they want to bounce to each other. I'm going to stand on the side, Ray, with you. A62KY standing by.
All right, roger that. I actually had a Voyager question myself.
Chat WS2N and see if he's out there for a space question there at WJ2.
Yeah, Paul, he's out there for a space question, KP2N and more. Was AC2 that I had to be still out there?
This is AC2IS. I was curious what the Voyager question was going to be. I don't know that, I guess we're saying the people currently on the air wouldn't have the answers, but might as well hear the question anyway, right? AC2IS.
Hey, Roger. Oh, yeah, you're on Echo Link, right? No, I'm just curious if we still have control over, like, can we make it turn and stuff? I mean, I know we can hear it, you know, talk to it, like, telemetry, but can we make it move it on its own? Like, yeah, that was my question.
I don't know 100%, but I would assume that if talking about the first Voyager that's out way out in the solar system, I would think that's out of fuel by now. I don't think they can turn it. It's just probably on a free trajectory just moving along.
And what about the other one, and where is that?
I don't know. Paul would probably know, I mean, they only have a limited supply of fuel on those probes. They point it in a certain direction. I think they expend most of the fuel, and then it keeps going. But they usually have some type of nuclear reactor on there that keeps the electricity for the computers and the transmitters and cameras and sensors and all that kind of stuff. There's kind of a reaction going on that's creating the thermal energy, and I think that thermal energy gets converted to electricity, and that's probably what's powering it so they can still communicate with it. But as far as rocket fuel goes or propulsion, I don't think it lasts for very long. They just, you know, point it in one direction and off it goes to the JQB.
Okay, so KPB, KPM, and what?
just now you brought up another question. Why doesn't it get